Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to talk about Busta Rhymes going off on a crowd. We're also going to discuss a serial slingshot shooter who was arrested. And also, I think my boss's house is haunted. So that and more. My dream is for a man that I love to just get kidnapped and then just propose to me. That is ridiculous.
It is.
And you can be honest, this is definitely not a safe space. I think I'm producing way too much melatonin. And I'm telling you, this newer generation is going to look exactly like that because they're always looking down constantly. It's like a human fish hook with skin on it.
Ew.
Y'all, look the fuck up. Yeah, don't ninja star your boo and ask her to marry you. It's not going to work the way you think. So yeah, there was like literally an elderly man just vandalizing and terrorizing their neighborhood.
All right, Bert, get ready because this one, the spirit is calling you out by name. Tommy?
Let me know the current homeowner's name as well.
Oh, her
name.
What it is, what it is. P, silly listeners, welcome to the podcast that takes its silliness seriously, the professionally silly podcast. It's me, your audible boot fang, Amber Smiles Jones. And this is the podcast where we shoot the shit and where comedy can meet any random ass topic that we discuss. And I have something that I want to admit to all of you. By the way, I want to apologize ahead of time. DJ Hey Cousin is here today, and that is actually end of statement.
That's
sorry
it.
For that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I'm here, and I am ready to dish out any form of silliness that is required of me.
It's the least you can do.
Yes, that's the least I can do, and I just want to do my best.
All right, that's wonderful. Do my best. Thank you. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, actually. So today, guys, we're going to talk about Busta Rhymes going off on a crowd. We're also going to discuss a serial slingshot shooter who was arrested. And also, I think my boss's house is haunted. So that and more right here on the Professionally Silly podcast. So, yep, Ghost, Busta Rhymes, and slingshots. What more do you need for an amazing podcast episode, honestly?
I don't really know.
It's
what
perfect.
I do know is this is going to be great, and I am terrified of what these combination of topics could possibly bring.
Oh, this is going to be a very random episode per the usual. Sit back, relax, and freak out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to leisurely freak out.
Sounds like my life. Okay, yeah. So I feel like it's been a minute since I like shared some personal stuff. I used to have like, you know, this week with me, you know, and I used to start the episodes by sharing some shit about myself. But all I do is work and create content these days. But I have decided to try my best to do a little bit more in my life. I'm not dating currently, so that part's out, but I should probably attempt to eventually, as they say. Live a little is what people keep saying. So I feel like a lot of you listening can probably relate to what I'm about to say. So I really love being invited to things because I like to feel included and thought about. Who doesn't enjoy that? But there are times where like, I'm too damn tired or maybe I'm just like low-key hoping that whoever invited me out decides to cancel. You ever had that moment like DJ Hey Cousin, like when you're invited somewhere and you want to go, but at the same time you're like, I'd rather stay home and not do that.
Oh yeah. Sometimes, shoot, as I get older, a lot of times doing nothing is always better than the thing they're asking me to do.
I don't know why, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm in my 30s now or whatever it is, but I do think that Los Angeles changed me a bit, and it wasn't something that I went for. Okay, so like, okay, first of all, when I first moved there, everybody's super excited when you first get to LA. You're like, oh, I'm gonna do this, all the things that can happen, the people that can be, the networking, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're wide eyed and bushy tailed,
yes,
ready for the world.
yeah, I did meet some amazing people. I did make good contacts, but I wasn't making any money. And the goals that I set hadn't happened. And yeah. Honestly, I have no one to blame but myself. But I was a bit unhappy over there. Everybody I knew and cared about was, you know, on the west, on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And everybody who truly knew who I was, you know, it was over there. And not to mention, I was broke as fuck because LA is so fucking expensive, right? So I didn't really get out a lot, unfortunately. I went out when I could. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't home all the time. I did go out here and there.
Yeah.
But I was home in my studio apartment alone with my cat a lot of the time trying to figure out how I was going to eat for the week because I wasn't getting paid a lot as a property manager. Literally like every 2 weeks in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. keep in mind, I was getting like $333.67. I remember it because that's like the amount that I got the most, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's every 2 weeks.
Oh, now, Lord.
I did earn my rent, so they took my rent out of my checks automatically.
Yeah.
Because it was an old building, electricity and shit was included, mm-hmm. you know, so I got lucky with that. Parking was not included. And if you ever lived in Los Angeles, you know, parking is fucking...
That's a huge chunk right there.
Shit, man. You get a parking ticket, like, for instance, on 2 days a week, you can't park on a certain side of the street for, like, street cleaning and shit. You forget to do that, that's a $77 ticket right there. If you do not pay that within, like, I think it's, like, 22 days, mm-hmm. it doubles. You can't...
I don't know if you heard my... that. It was the sound of astonishment.
It was fucking crazy. So, yeah, I didn't go out a lot. And when I did, I was like Uber or I'd take a Lime, one of those scooters or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, then I came back home, you know, to Atlanta. I was able to spend time with my parents, especially my mom before she passed, which was, I didn't know what happened was going to happen, mm-hmm. but I knew I needed to get home because I knew my mother was older. I knew my dad was older, so... I needed to get back. I knew it was a time for me to, you know, spend time with my fam. So
yeah,
I came back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw myself slowly returning to who I used to be. But I'm definitely a lot lazier than I used to be. Definitely fatter. And if I'm being honest, I didn't like myself very much at all when I was in Los Angeles. I looked down on myself a lot. And so being seen in public by people with eyes, that was terrifying. So if I didn't like me, if I don't like me, then my vibe is going to be hella off, which is another reason why, you know, I didn't like to go out as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm still working on that. You know what I mean? I get invited to some things. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'll go. But then there are other times I'm like, I really don't want to go, but I'm going to make myself go. And I always enjoy myself mm-hmm. when I do go. Mm-hmm. It's just... And, I'm in my head the whole time.
And there is a line, Smiles, between that urge to, okay, not go solely due to you don't feel like it,
mm-hmm.
and anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you know, or those things that can actually truly hinder you in real life. And to have the understanding of where those lines are, that's very important.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You... I love you very much. And I do think now you're getting out more than you ever have.
Honestly, and that's what I'm getting to. Like, I have been forcing myself to go out more and more just to live a little. And one of the reasons I've been doing that is because my mom was telling me before she passed. She was like, I mean, not like right before. Everything. Mm-hmm. I guess everything I say now was before she passed. Yeah, she yeah. didn't tell me this like yesterday. Yeah. You know, but she was like, you need to... get out more, you know, because if you don't go out, if you don't create these memories, you're going to get to an age where you're going to regret that you didn't do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, how are you going to meet that woman that you're looking for if you're not going out? I know the dating apps are a thing, but let's be real, you know.
Yeah.
And she would say these things, and she's right. And she wasn't the only one to say them, but she's the one I heard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's been tough trying to get out of my head and just have a good time, but I'm also... tired all the damn time. I need to exercise and get my energy up. I need more protein. I need to change something, more vitamins, whatever it is, because I'm still young. I'm in my 30s. I'm not like ancient right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know like Gen Z and Gen Alpha think we're old, but I remember when I thought 30 was old.
Yeah.
Bam, Dina Carter, Strawberry Wine. What's up?
What's up?
If you know your country music, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Out here hard.
Yep.
Hard.
Yep. And also, don't forget, just for a sense of context, being in your mid-30s now is a completely different thing, biologically speaking, than being 30s in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just as far as, you know, nutritional standards and you know, water intake, you know, just that kind of stuff. You know, you know, people live a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's
true. In both good and bad ways.
That's
true. And right now I'm referring to those good ways.
And I will say this, like, because of the type of jobs I've had within the last, like, 5 years, it's been getting up super early to go to work. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing that for the Burt Show, and I love that because I love the job. But I still have to get up, like, around 4 a.m. to get ready, get to work on time by 6 a.m. That's when the show starts, so I can be ready to do what I got to do, you know. So the hours are very difficult sometimes because you are trying to get as much rest as possible, which means sometimes you got to go to bed early, you know what I mean? And that's fine. I don't mind going to bed, taking naps, whatever the fuck, but... You know, it's just, it's something that I need to change in me so that I can change my chemical balance of whatever the fuck. I think I'm producing way too much melatonin. Like, legit, if we hooked up like a bloodline right now, my blood is like straight indica. You're going to sleep, bro. Like, but in other news.
Straight Z's.
Straight Z's, bro. You're going to be like straight napping. But I do have some good news that I want to share with you guys. I might have the opportunity to get back on stage and do some stand-up.
There's no might.
I mean, we'll see. It's been, I don't like to get too. But it's been a few years since I've been on stage. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I haven't done it since like right before COVID. Yeah. I moved back from L.A. to here right when COVID got crazy. Now, I was actually offered to do a set, but that was when COVID was kind of crazy. And it scared me to go out in public and stand on stage with people breathing while they're looking at me.
No, of course.
And then come home and get my parents sick or something. So,
bruh, yes.
So I didn't do that one.
Yeah. That was an easy pass.
Yeah, easy pass. So the last time I actually did stand up was when I was in LA. And it was legit at the Comedy Store. It was the last time I did stand up. So, but I may have the chance to get back on stage at the Atlanta Black Pride. It would be a 10-minute set. I won't lie. I'm nervous as fuck, but I have no material prepared, but at least not yet. But that's a hell of a way to get back on stage, get back up there for the first time in years. So I got to figure out how to make a club full of gay black people laugh. I think I got that handled.
I mean, pretty much the way you make yourself laugh.
Yeah, I'll literally just look out into the crowd and pretend there's a mirror and it's just me staring back at myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
if you want, you can pretend I'm there too.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you ever been gay before?
That's relatable.
So yeah, I'm excited about it. But you know me, once I get on stage, I'm gonna feel like I'm at home. That's just how it goes. So I just got to get up there, say some hilarious shit. No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure.
There really isn't any.
I mean, it's
really easy to put pressure on yourself when it comes to stuff, even simple stuff. Talking to a person, going to get the mail.
These days, Gen Z is making phone calls.
Leaving
messages.
Exactly. You know, so
oh, please, man.
That's all that is self-inflicted.
Exactly.
You know, so you don't got to take the pressure off. Take it off.
Pressure. I like that song. All right, so this episode is brought to you by All Purpose Heating and Air Conditioning. They also do plumbing, electricity, water heater, all that good stuff. No job too small, always the lowest price. So they offer service 7 days a week, 365 days a year, certified technicians, service guaranteed. They do emergency service, air conditioning, heater, and furnace service. Let me tell you something right now. I have actually used all-purpose alternative heating and air before. And let me tell you something. It get real hot in Atlanta. I mean, last summer in July, hot as hell. Bro, you know, heat rises. So upstairs, I could barely sleep. I had to actually sleep in the nude. I don't like to do that, but I had to, okay? I was sticking to my sheets. And then? I contacted all-purpose alternative heating and air.
Blessing.
And I was taken care of. So if you are interested, you can go ahead and call to schedule a service today. You're going to reach out to Carlos with a K. Number is 678
630-7353. I'll be sure to put Carlos's number as well as his email address down below in the show notes. All-purpose alternative heating and air.
Gotta love it. Gotta love that air.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get on with the silly. Make sure you guys subscribe, rate, and review. Oh, and by the way, I want to go ahead and shout out to Ross Lee for their support. Homie, I saw your message on my TikTok. Ross Lee said, too many people still sleeping on your podcast, so I'm just going to tell them again that they're missing out. First of all, shout out to you so much for being a supporter of the show. That means a lot to me because as I said in the video here, video response, I put a lot of work into this and a lot of people don't know that I exist. It's not that my content isn't great, because it is, but because there's such a saturation of so many podcasts, some are consistent, some are not, but all of them are kind of, you know, and a lot of them are done by celebrities and people way bigger than me. So it's kind of hard to grow as a small content creator, even with consistency. You have to just enjoy what you do and hope to God that maybe somebody will see it, hear it, or whatever your content is. And eventually you'll be able to make that your full-time job or what have you. But shout out to you, Ross Lee. I see you.
Appreciate
you're
you, Ross.
Awesome. Yeah, appreciate you. All right, y'all, it's time to get silly. Coming up, Busta Rhymes went off at his concert, and I kind of understand why. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. Okay, bro, so have you seen the video with Busta Rhymes going off on the fans during one of his concerts? I think it was the, what festival was it? It was
Essence Festival.
That's what it was. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. And, it's there's a lot of layers to it per usual in this kind.
You saw
of
the whole thing?
The majority of it. Mm-hmm. It was definitely hilarious. Seeing what I think that was Fat Busta. Seeing Fat Busta because he's going back and forth right now.
No, that was Thin Busta.
You know what I mean? That was
well, his face is a little.
That you can't change that. You can't change that head size. You can't change that. But he was performing at Essence Fest, doing his thing with Spliff Star per usual, and he stopped, telling everybody to get on their feet because it was on their phones and stuff like that. Saying this was his first time at Essence Fest, which sidebar it wasn't, and just saying how hey everybody get on your feet, which I mean on that like surface level, yes, I agree. If you're at a concert and it's something in which you should be on your feet for. If it's not,
I mean,
opera,
it's not like it was like fucking Adele singing. It was Busta Rhymes.
You know what I'm saying? It's,
like what?
I mean, if it's something that you should be on your feet for, you should be on your feet.
Yeah, enjoy it, man. He's putting on a show. Like,
so you know what I mean? So the fact that that wasn't happening, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
So
I feel like one of the things about that I understood, because the whole thing, which by the way, I'm going to play the audio clip for you guys so you can hear what we're talking about in case you haven't. But one of the things that he did mention, you know, is like, I mean, like you said, on your feet. It's literally he looked out into the crowd and saw like more than half of the crowd with their faces in their phones. Yeah. Like because it's dark. He can see out there because it's dark and he's seeing people's faces light up because they're all looking at their fucking phones. And he is literally one of the like dopest rappers in hip hop. Honestly,
yeah.
And this is the Essence Festival and everybody is looking at their phones instead of enjoying the moment of where they are.
Yeah. And a contrarian argument somebody could have
weird.
Is that, oh, well, he's Busta Rhymes. He should be able to get everybody on their feet. You know, well, you know, if he can't get everybody on their feet, then that's a problem for the performer. The performer's not doing his job properly. That's not the fan's fault. You should be doing a better job as a performer.
You're doing a great devil's advocate.
And, you know, that's what I'm here for. Balance. which is, again, another layer to the equation, but...
I feel know, like, it, at the same time, though, like, why would you pay to go to a concert if you're not even going to look at it?
Exactly.
Just leave. Or save them tickets for niggas who want to see it.
Nobody asked you to be here.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
And so, as Busta Rhymes, there's a certain type of level of respect that he has earned.
as being one of the dopest rappers out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't. I mean, I'm not even gonna retract it before I say it. It's like, you can't call yourself a hip hop fan if you don't like what's wrong. That's stupid, because you can dislike another artist. But it's like, he is a part of that, and we're at the Essence Festival, where like all these amazing Black artists are doing their thing, giving you know their stuff. And you're like on TikTok, like, yeah.
Like checking email,
like you're literally acting like you're sitting on a toilet. I just feel like there's a level of respect. So I low key kind of understand what he was saying. So let me just go ahead and play this audio for you guys, so you can hear it for yourself, and you can let me know, you know, on the Professionally Silly podcast group, what you feel or what you think about this. Do you think Busta had a point? Do you think this newer generation don't know how to lift their necks? Or, because let me tell you something, how many times have we all seen people walking down the street and like old as shit, and they neck be looking like they were just born with scoliosis and it just got worse?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a human fish hook with skin on it.
Ew.
That's what they look like. And I'm telling you, this newer generation is going to look exactly like that, because they're always looking down constantly.
Oh, yeah. There's already been depictions. Scientific depictions about what people are going to look like
later
because of how we're hunched over. Because this is a new thing. This whole phone thing is new. So it's going to be even worse for us as far as the whole like Igor look we're going to have when we're his age. It's going to be double hooks for us.
It's disgusting and it's weird. And I really want people to start looking up. And here's my thing, man. There's just like so many wonderful things in this world that I feel like, you know, our younger generations are missing. Do you remember going outside and playing? Do you remember like taking walks when it wasn't about making a video to inspire people to walk, even though you don't really walk yourself? You're just making a video for views and clicks. So you went outside just to make the video. Like, what happened to just going out to lunch and not taking a photo of what you're eating?
I went outside for clout.
Going outside for clout. It's fucking bananas. So listen, man, we haven't even gotten to the Professionally Silly life role, but I'm gonna tell you what one of them is right now. Y'all look the fuck up. You can still listen to the podcast, because you can just wear your headphones and look up.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't gotta look at the podcast. That's the thing, bro. Look up.
Simple as that. Look up.
Yo, look up. Look up.
You'll see a lot.
All right, so let me just go ahead and let you guys hear the audio of Busta talking to this young generation about, you know, looking up.
Turn the house lights on. New Orleans, y'all look like y'all tired. You motherfuckers ain't ready. I don't give a fuck how many seats is empty in this bitch. Everybody that's here, get the fuck up. Sir and miss, thank you. Excuse me, brother. Don't start with motherfucking me today. Fuck going on? What the fuck going on? Hey, yo, fuck them camera phones too. Let's get back to interacting like humans. Put them weird ass devices down. I ain't from that era. Them shits don't control the soul. Fuck your phone. Excuse me, gentlemen. Thank you very much. I will point every last one of y'all out until y'all asses is up. 33 years of doing this shit, I ain't used to niggas sitting down at my show. I don't give a fuck. All age groups, get your ass up now. I see you, beautiful queen. Get up too. Fuck going on. Everybody up top too. Get your big head asses up. Look, the reason why there will be zero tolerance for bullshit energy in here is because this is my first time in New Orleans at the fucking 30th anniversary of the Essence Festival. This my first time, this my brother first time, and it's my other brother first time.
That's right.
Make me feel like we home.
Hey, yo, if you want to turn it up, say turn it up. Say turn it up. Turn up. Turn up.
Next up, my boss's house is haunted. You won't believe the evidence. It's the Professionally Silly podcast. I'm gonna talk about some ghostesses. Ooh. All right, ladies and gents, this is going to be interesting because I'm talking about one of my favorite topics of all time, paranormal shit. Okay, for my new listeners here, if you're not aware of this, I am also a paranormal investigator on the side. I've been into the paranormal since I was old enough to understand it. Remember back in the day, Ghost Hunters, the original Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi? Back when their Sci-Fi logo was SCI-FI. Mm-hmm. Now it's like SYFY, I think.
Yes, and I'm not even... yes, it's confusing.
Wait, is Sci-Fi still a thing, actually?
It still is a thing, and it's just as weird and B-movie-esque as it was in the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, like currently, it's. I feel like currently Sci-Fi is like it's like the new Tubi, but for Sci-Fi.
Like, I'm sorry, say that again. What?
Sci-Fi is like giving out Tubi version movies now, because like all the good shit is like on the bigger platforms now. Because I don't think their budget is what it used to be.
Oh yeah, no, Sci-Fi. I don't know who owns Sci-Fi, but I'm sure they don't have too much money to.
Who owns Sci-Fi? I don't,
Viacom. I don't know.
Viacom owns everybody.
Oh, damn.
Or do they still? I don't even know. There's so much going on. So anyways, I was really into paranormal stuff, and let me get this straight. I do not have like a gift. I'm not a medium. I'm not an empath. I'm none of those things. If I want to do a paranormal investigation, I have to have tools, whether it's a REM pod, K2 meter, dowsing rod, spirit box, all those things that you see in those paranormal investigative videos you watch on YouTube or sci-fi or any of those other things. I have those tools, except for the thermal imaging, because, you know, I ain't made of money. The would things are like thousands of dollars.
Would you be considered a ghost auditor?
What do you mean? Like, in what context? How would that work?
Maybe I'm not quite sure what an auditor does.
You clearly have never been audited. That's good. I mean, I guess you can say stock. I go to that if I'm like going through things to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Like maybe more like an investigator, like a paranormal investigator. That's what I would call myself.
Oh, okay. That's a term. We use that. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Would you call yourself a ghost auditor?
Seems kind of new, but all right.
You remember that story when I told you about that time Abby on the Burt Show said with her full chest, big dick energy? That's how you said that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go ahead and play the clip. I want you to hear what Abby did on The Burt Show. That shit was hilarious. By the way, The Burt Show is a nationally syndicated morning radio show. So on the podcast, they can get away with a lot more. Actually, no, they can't because they're recording it live. But when it's a nationally syndicated radio show, there are certain words that you cannot say because of the FCC. They have rules and regulations. You say these words, you could be fined for those words if you can't hit the dump button in time. Okay, so Abby shouting out big dick energy live on the air was not a great idea. It was hilarious, though. But luckily, they were able to dump it in time, so no fines. But that you said it with that much gumption. Mm-hmm. Are you like a ghost auditor? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was great. Anyways, listen, Abby.
All right, we're going to see how the women fare when it comes to male anatomy.
Sperm makes up what percentage of semen?
Oh. I'm gonna go 1%. I'm gonna go 10%.
10% is the answer. Wow, you're on fire right
Kristen
now.
Kristen is very familiar with this.
What is the primary male sex organs?
Primary?
The gonads.
You got it. What does Harry Styles, Zac Efron, and Mark Wahlberg all have in common?
They all got big energy.
Oh my God.
Dump it. You can't say that.
Well, Abby, might be time to wrap up the quiz. You forgot where you were.
We're not cutting bonus. This is on the air.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna throw up. I can't believe you just yelled that.
The correct answer was extra nipples.
Now you understand what I mean. I'm talking to you. Why are you rubbing your face?
Oh, sorry.
This is a podcast. You have to speak. People can't see you.
No. Sorry, ghost auditor. Goodness.
Jesus. So anyways, we were talking about the Paranormal Blacktivity YouTube channel that I have on the show, on the Burt Show. And Burt was saying that he has experienced some things in his home. And so he brought me on and he was like, hey, I have a job for you. I want you to come to my house. I want you to do the thing that you do with the spirits, and I want you to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I not only am I going to share audio clips with you guys, I'm going to play the clip on the big show, the Burt Show, okay? So you can hear everyone's reaction to what I share with them. So let's go ahead and roll that clip.
Roll it.
Burt, Kristen, Mo, and Abby on The Burt Show.
We are about to find out if my house has some spirits hanging out. So I was first tipped off. Maybe, perhaps, you guys actually DM'd me and said, maybe you got some ghosts going on in that house. So I adopted an English bulldog a couple of months ago. She's 3.5 years old. And every now and then, she will just, look up into the living room area like she's intently staring at something, and then without any sound, without anything behind her, no farts, no nothing, she's just startled and starts running down the hall. And she will do that probably 2 or 3 times a day, mostly in that area there. So when I was mentioning that on Instagram, a bunch of listeners hit me up and said, you know, there are a lot of people that believe that young children and animals can see spirits in a way that adults can't because, you know, we got this filter of pessimism. So I don't know much about this new house that I'm in. I know that it was constructed in 1962. Outside of that, I know nothing about it. There's nothing in that house that has freaked me out. I'm not hearing creaks in the middle of the night or any weird sounds or doors aren't opening or anything like that. So the only tip off I would have is Franny just being startled after she stares sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just
aimlessly, like, aimlessly off into the distance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Aimlessly. So our producer, Amber, here, lucky enough, has a business that specializes in just this.
Yes. So I have a YouTube channel that's called Paranormal Blacktivity. It's the best name ever.
Because you're black.
Yeah.
I get it.
And there's activity. It's paranormal.
You guys are sharp.
They're sharp, man. They quick, man.
So Bert is telling us about the different experiences that I believe his dog has had.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, I did speak to Erin.
Okay.
And she said
that Erin's kind of my house manager, takes care of everything.
She's super sweet. And she said that that you've had experiences before in other, mm-hmm. in your other homes as well.
Yeah, somebody's ass is following me.
That's what I was about to ask. Like, are you haunted?
Yeah, it might be. Because don't they say that these spirits can follow you from one place to the other?
Didn't you have, like, a little kid, Malcolm, in the basement of one of your houses?
This was way back in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was the second one. Yeah, yeah, that was the second one, right?
Yeah, I might want to clarify that it was a ghost.
Yes.
This wasn't a kid.
Jeff Lou, Malcolm in the basement.
It wasn't a real kid.
Okay.
He's still there.
No, it was that really nice house. I was like 2 seconds away from the radio station.
Yeah, that's right. There was.
An unfinished basement.
That's
and
right.
They kept saying, like, there was a ghost kid named Malcolm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So the only thing that I've brought into the house are my dad's ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's somewhere in a back closet somewhere.
So that's how we decided to go ahead and do this.
Oh, man. Great. I mean, it's pretty, at least for me, pretty official that he's living with some ghosts. He's living with some ectoplasm going around in the house somewhere.
So I decided to do the job. And he also said, I want to hire you. He said, hire me. He didn't say, do me a favor, which I would have done. I love the guy, and he's my boss. Like, I'm going to make him happy. You know what I mean?
Dang.
That came out wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he hired me, which means he actually paid me to go to his house, see what's going on. And so we did actually, because I was there by myself. His friend Erin was there. She takes care of his dog when he's out of town and things like that. So she was staying there. And so she was in the room doing her own work on her laptop, never left that one room in the living room, never left. And she heard a lot of the investigation. She didn't, like, join in technically on it. Mm-hmm. She was just there doing her thing. She's super into it, though,
yeah.
You know. Anyways, I want to share some audio clips with you guys because this shit is amazing. So I did an investigation. I used several different types of tools to do paranormal investigations. If you're really into it, then you know what a REM pod is or a K2 meter. These are all little devices that can help me figure out which is a good way to interact with these spirits. But I use dowsing rods, but I also use Spirit Box in two different forms. One is the SB7. That's the one you get the that sound. And then the other one is the Necrophonic app, which is an app that allows you to, I guess, hear things and very clearly in like a live time. So the very first clip that I want to share with you, this should be the Necrophonic app.
Okay, so if you have a clip, that means you heard something in that house.
Yes, I did. I heard a few things, and I actually saw some things. I'll show you guys off air later, some video later on. So, yeah, I do think that your home is haunted, but I do not think it is a dark or evil energy. I don't think it's that.
Nah, we're cool.
Yeah, you're good to go. You would know. It was. All right, so the first clip is coming here. Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead and play it for me.
Are there any older spirits in this home?
Huh? That last thing there?
There's a very last thing. Hit one more time, Tommy.
Are there any older spirits in this home?
What did you hear?
I see what you wrote down. That's the only way I would know. There are a few.
There are a few.
So, okay, what is the sound right before you hear the ghost voice? It says something like spirit.
Yeah, I couldn't make out everything because the Necrophonic app, how it works is it in the same thing with the spirit box. It's pretty much using the radio frequencies of whatever electronic device you're using, and it's just trying to kind of pick up the energy that the spirits can actually choose words from a list of dictionary words that are in the app itself. So they can't always give you full sentences on that. You can usually get words here and there. Mm-hmm. But if you get a whole sentence like that, there are a few. That's interesting to me.
So let's hear that one more time now that we know what the words are.
Are there any older spirits in this home?
Damn, that's pretty clear.
That is pretty clear.
So our next clip is going to be coming.
You all right over there?
I'm a little startled. Yeah, I mean, these kind of things don't really scare me. I don't think it's like movies where I'm going to see knives that are going to be thrown across the kitchen, so they don't really scare me.
Luckily,
but I'm surprised.
I'm glad that didn't happen because I was there alone. So this next one is another audio clip here, and I asked how many spirits are in the house with me right now. And I don't even have to tell you what it said. It's answered three different times by three different spirits. Go ahead, Tommy.
If there are any spirits in this house right now, can you tell me how many of you are here?
Three.
That's 3, 3, 3, 3 different voices, three different spirits saying the same exact answer.
Three threes across the board.
Now you got 333.
And I will say this, Bert, in Paranormal Activity, when three is a big number because of the Holy Trinity, and a lot of times demonic activity, demons will use, like you'll hear three knocks and different variations of three. So,
thanks for that addition.
You might have a demon.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I play that again because that's clear as day right there.
If there are any spirits in this house right now, can you tell me how many of you are here?
That's creepy. I feel like, wait, hang on. Up until this point, I've been like, yeah, okay. And then I heard that. Did your attitude shift once you heard those three?
I did, yeah. That was real clear.
And when I was hearing it live, I was excited.
It's a ghost party.
Yeah. Our next clip is coming from, I believe this is the Necrophonic app as well. And I asked them to tell me a name, and they responded, "You need a name?
Can you tell me the name of the man who lives in this house right now?"
"You need a name." That was her response. One more time, Tommy.
"Can you tell me the name of the man who lives in this house right now?"
At the very end.
At the very end, asking me, "Do you need a name?" Now, here is interesting. We're going to get to a name that they gave us in a moment. But the next clip here is very interesting. This is when I was using something called a REM pod, R-E-M. And how it works is pretty much there's an antenna there. And the closer that anything gets to it, alive or dead, is going to, the lights are going to go off. And the antenna is going to make a noise. So you're going to hear that. So I'm explaining to the spirits how it works, letting them know that it's not going to hurt them. And I believe that one of the spirits wasn't sure if it would or not. And it asked, you know, is it going to hurt me? So Tommy, go ahead and play that one.
Let me show you what happens when you touch it. This is it. This is all that happens. That's all it's going to do. It's not going to hurt you. No, it's not going to hurt you.
So that was...
So you could hear that in real time.
Yeah, that was in your closet, by the way.
Wow.
All right, so that's where Fred is somewhere.
Yeah, that was in your closet. Okay. I don't know what your dad sounds like, so you'd have to let me know if his voice, if you hear anything in the next couple of clips. All right, Bert, get ready, because this one, the spirit is calling you out by name. Tommy?
Let me know the current homeowner's name as well.
Oh, her one.
That is the spirit box, SB7.
I didn't hear that. Was it?
Yeah, play it again. Very
good. Let me know the current homeowner's name as well.
Whoa. Yep.
I got goosebumps.
Are you guys messing with me?
No.
No.
Erin was there. I didn't do anything. She was there. That is coming from the spirit box. I'll have to bring in the spirit box so you can see it, but yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, I swear. Now, this last one, I'm not sure of the voice of the spirit. You let me know if it sounds like your dad or not.
Okay.
But I do believe I asked a question, and they answered me, and I believe they said his dad, Fred, or something along those lines. Tommy?
Who was making this go off? Did you say Fred? Fred, are you here?
Whoa. Now, the here at the end, I have no idea what your dad sounds like, but that was...
I don't know. He didn't talk to me much when he was alive.
So. Dear Lord.
But I do want to hear that one more time.
Who was making this go off? Did you say Fred? Fred, are you here?
Oh.
Now, here. After I asked the question, is someone, a spirit said his dad... And then I heard Fred, and then I was like, "Did you just say Fred?" And they're like, "Here." And so I don't
know. That's my dad's name, Fred.
It's cognitive. Ooh. That's why I text you. What's your dad's name? So, dude, I think your house is definitely haunted, but nothing evil. So
that's crazy.
Wow, that's insane.
Well, my dad was evil alive. So hopefully he transitioned a little bit in the afterlife. That's bizarre. That is really, really bizarre. Ooh. And we've had others in here that said that you can talk to them and, yeah, you know, let them know everything's cool. Like, you guys want to, you know, eat some crumble, whatever. We're cool.
Three of them in there.
Okay. It's a Bert Show.
It was funny because even Cassie said for her, it got real when the ghost, when the spirit was like three, 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 like in three different voices, three different people. And then not to mention, you know, the nice tidbit that that Tommy shared with them was very intriguing. And Bert's face during that, and also when the spirit said his name. And I think his dad might have been there. So because of that, his face was different. Mm-hmm. Because he's had paranormal investigations done in his home before. Not this home. This is his newest home.
Yeah.
But in the past, in his other homes he's had, because he's also had experiences. I remember listening to those episodes years ago, but I don't remember what the evidence was. But I'm not certain that it was as clear and cognitive as what I gave him.
Yeah.
Because you know, you see my paranormal black activity videos. I ask cognitive questions, and I tend to try to have a conversation with these spirits. I don't antagonize them. I don't disrespect them. You know, I let them know who I am. I introduce myself. I ask them questions that you can know the answer is real.
You're very cordial.
Yes. Like, for instance, I'll hold up three fingers and I'll say, if there's spirits here right now, tell me how many fingers that you see that I'm holding up. And if on the spirit box or the Necrophonic app it says three, oh, there's a cognitive response. What color is my shirt right now? If it says black, oh, what you talking about? You know what I mean? So I think it's very interesting. And one of the reasons that I have Paranormal Black Activity, the channel, not just because I'm really into the paranormal, but also to show people that not every experience is dark or evil or negative. And you remember the last series we did, we were able to communicate with a couple's children,
yeah,
who passed away before they were born. And this couple was able to communicate with their kids, you know, in real time. And don't get me wrong, the unknown is scary, but it doesn't mean that it's dark. It doesn't mean that it's negative.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's evil. Unknown is scary because it's unknown. But that's also what intrigues me.
yeah, as it should. Some people steer away from that stuff. Some people are drawn to it. And I feel like the people who are drawn to it, they tend to, I won't say get a new lease on life, but it opens up something inside of them.
Yeah, I think that too. I think everyone, or maybe everyone, but there are people who just, like, for instance,
Some people want to get that adrenaline rush. They do different things. I mean, they might jump out of a plane. They might travel. They might do roller coasters or what. Me, paranormal investigation. Yeah. Yeah. I'm constantly asked, do you feel safe? Like, you're not scared? It's like, no, I am protected. Even more so now that my mother is no longer Earthside. I honestly feel like she is with me no matter where I go. And my other family members and close friends that I've lost in the past, they know what I'm into. So I feel like when they, I don't know how it works up there, but I feel like they probably get like a text, yo, Amber's down there talking to spirits, go on down there, protect her, Jesus. Yes. You know, I feel like the bat signal goes up and then my friends and family come in spiritually and they're like, all right, bitch, we're ready. Where do you need us?
What do you need?
I need you to get that perimeter. I want you to flank left, you know, you'll keep these demons from me. So, yeah, so I wanted to share that with you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you haven't already, check out the Paranormal Blacktivity YouTube channel. I'll put the link down below in the description box. And you can also find it on my link tree, which is in every podcast episode that I have. So you can go ahead and click that there as well. So subscribe, because let me tell you something. There are not a lot of black paranormal investigators out there. The only one I know of is Ghost Brothers. And they get paid because they own the Discovery Channel and shit.
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure if you dug into them, they were probably getting money. Like, they was doing what you're doing now.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? And then they got...
Yo, if anybody knows the Ghost Brothers, yo, tell them to hit me up.
Yeah.
You know, let's collab. Let's do this.
Exactly.
They need a black lesbian on their team,
they
bro.
Sure do. Come on now.
It's imperative. Oh, snap. Up next...
Oh,
had like a mouth fart.
Yeah.
Up next, everybody, is serial shooter was arrested in California. So, it's the Professionally Silly Podcast.
Tuesday is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, random Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came across something that's actually kind of old. It's about a month or so old, but it was very interesting. Have you, know what a slingshot is, right?
Of course.
Okay. For those of you who don't know what a slingshot is, that's weird. Anyways, as she says, not explaining what it is. Okay, so according to a San Francisco Bay Area News, some crazy shit went down. An 81-year-old serial slingshot shooter was arrested during a search warrant serving Thursday after authorities determined he had been striking residential windows, denting car windshields, and making close calls with several people in his, I think it's Azusa neighborhood for close to a decade, authorities say.
Damn. For almost rampage.
Since his early 70s. This motherfucker has been going around with a slingshot just being a 12-year-old boy.
First of all, no one's turned this man in before this. They've been letting this man go on this just chaos for 10 years.
I mean, maybe he's been doing it like late at night or something. I don't know. It says here the Azusa, it's A-Z-U-S-A, police department launched an investigation after learning of the quote-unquote quality of life issue afflicting residents in the 900 block of North Enid Avenue, which is about 23 miles east of LA. So during the course of 9 to 10 years, dozens of citizens were being victimized, police said in the recent news release. Authorities served the warrant at the residence of Prince King. That's this man's name. Prince King.
That's his name.
That's what it says. And found ball bearings and a slingshot. Ooh. At the property. So if you don't know what a ball bearing is, ladies and gentlemen, it's like a perfectly round piece of metal, like old school bullets, like from back in the day of yore.
Yeah, imagine metal marbles.
Yeah, metal marbles, exactly. Put the gunpowder in, shove, 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 ball bearing, shove, shove, shove. I think more gunpowder. I don't fucking know. And then
5 minutes later, you got yourself a killing shot.
Yeah, yeah. 5 minutes later, after loading it, you can wreak havoc. So this is the quote here. It's been going on for many years. Wait, hold on. Did I lose my spot? Yes, I did. Okay, so no injuries have been reported, which is good. Lieutenant Jake Ashby of the Azua Police told the San Gabriel Valley Tribune, but detectives discovered most of the ball bearings were launched from his backyard, while others were hurled from a nearby neighborhood. So that's probably why they didn't know it was. He's literally just probably standing in his backyard or random space, just hitting them up in the air, and wherever they land, they land.
Oh, that would suck.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, I get it. You got to have some anonymity in your crimes, but I mean, if you're going to do it, stand on all 10, bro. In the front yard.
At least if you do that, maybe you can claim like insanity.
Yeah, right.
It's been going on for many years because we just didn't identify who the suspect was, Bushy told the Bushy. That's his name.
Bushy.
It's B-U-S-H-E-Y. He told the outlet, noting the reason for the vandalism or why certain people or properties were targeted remains unknown. We're not aware of any kind of motive other than just malicious mischief. So, mischief?
Oh, man.
Sounded wrong.
That is like a tongue twister.
So, yeah, there was like literally an elderly man just vandalizing and terrorizing their neighborhood. That is crazy. Yo, fuck that guy, though. Seriously. What a dick.
Right. Normally, how this would go down, first of all, this would only be happening for a couple of months. And after those couple of months, it'd be a group of kids trying to take revenge on the elderly gentleman in a slew of pranks and makeshift gadgets and gizmos. And they defeat the old man, and there's peace throughout the neighborhood.
And now you've literally just created a new fun virtual reality game.
Ooh.
So that's fun. So let me go ahead and also talk to you, dude, about like this new thing. There's like, well, not new, but the Arizona iced tea guy. You know Arizona iced tea.
Of course.
I lived off that shit in college. I haven't had it in a few years, but every now and then,
every now and then.
I get the little hankling for it. But the Arizona iced tea founder explains why he will not increase the 99-cent price of his tea.
Let me guess. Because he's a real one?
Well, he said, maybe it's my little way of giving back.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I appreciate that, but the problem is you can't control what the people who are selling your tea sell it for.
Exactly.
Because I have not had an Arizona iced tea for 99 cents in like, I don't know, 5+ years.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they're like 129 or some shit.
Oh, I can't even remember, man. It's been so long.
That's what I'm saying.
A dollar, not even including tax.
Nope.
A dollar. No.
Let me see if I can bring it up here so you can see
like
it.
Like you said, how much the vendors sell it for, inflation, the overall state of the economy. I mean, there's so many factors that can topple that whole.
I mean, when you think about it, the only people he's really helping are the people who are selling his shit, because they're still increasing the price no matter what he's doing. So these people are now making a hell of a profit off of something. You know, that I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, but it's not really helping us unless the sellers decide to sell it for what you set the price on.
Yeah. The attempt is grand, and the motives are beautiful, but the execution.
You could be selling your cans for more. Your competitors certainly are selling their beverages for more. Why not increase the price and therefore increase the profit?
We're successful. We're debt-free. We own everything. Why? Why have people who are having a hard time paying their rent have to pay more for our drink? Maybe it's my little way to give back.
So would you definitively say that you'll never raise that 99-cent price?
I don't know about never. Not in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to fight as hard as we can for consumers, because consumers are my friend.
So again, I'm glad that he's doing that, but the consumers are still paying more, because especially these corner stores, even Walgreens and CVS, I don't think they're 99 cents.
3 days after he dies, Arizona tea gonna cost $3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely correct.
$3.75.
So unless he puts that shit in his will and power of attorney to somebody who's already signed a contract that says this is what it's gonna be,
mm-hmm.
Be ready to pay like literally $5 for that shit.
Oh yes.
And not only will we pay more for it, they're gonna make the can smaller.
And it'll taste worse.
Yep. America.
I love it.
So anyways, guys, the way this man proposed was insane. And not in a good way. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. Coming up next. Okay, man. So, do you think that there is like a wrong and or right way to propose to someone?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, yeah, there's some semantics in there, of course, a person that's, you know, you're with and how you bonded with them, mm-hmm. and what they like, what they prefer. Of course, mm-hmm. you should have already learned something about them leading up to this point, right? You know, but beyond that, I mean, not really. I mean, to my mind, the only thing that's the only steadfast rule is as long as it's custom to them. You know what I mean? But beyond that,
you would hope that, right?
Yeah.
Before we even get to the reason I asked you that question, that reminds me of another question for you.
Okay.
It has been trending for a while, actually the last few years or so that I can think of, that it's apparently it's taboo for a woman to propose to a man. A lot of men who are that videos that I've seen, when they do that, they walk away out of embarrassment. They turn down the proposal, literally willing to embarrass their woman because they think it's something the man should do. If that's the case, and you should have fucking done it. But if a woman proposed to you as a man, how would you feel about that? And you can be honest, this is definitely not a safe space.
Oh, that's great. I can feel the daggers in my spine now. Again, going back to what I said, if a woman was to propose to me, I would want it to be custom to me.
And meaning you're okay with the woman proposing to you then?
Of course. Okay. Yeah, I am.
Because there are a lot of men who were not okay with that.
Yeah, and I believe, because this is just going off of anecdotal and, you know, what I understand about myself and my gender. If we were to be put in that position,
mm-hmm.
we would, at the position of your female mate asking to marry you,
mm-hmm.
and given the societal, you know, taboos and norms and stuff like that, most of the time, if that was to happen, they would want it to be private. They want it to be somewhere secluded.
Well, that something like you said, if you know your mate, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and that they wanted to be something more intimate. And there's no shame and no love loss or no whatever towards people who want a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, that's what you want. It is a big moment. So
how do you feel about the men? There are videos that I've seen where the woman will get on her knees, propose to him, but there's like friends and family surrounding them, and the guy just walks away while his queen is still on her knees holding a ring for him. Doesn't really look at her, just walks away and allows the embarrassment or the quote-unquote embarrassment or I guess the depletion of quote-unquote pride. I don't really know. How do you feel about the man just walking away from the entire situation?
It's a cacophony of emotion that he has no idea how to deal with, because 9 times out of 10, he has not been trained for that. His parents or his environment most likely has not mm-hmm. trained him to deal with that moment, with such a emotionally charged moment.
Well, let me ask you this. That is actually a great way of looking at it. Let's say you proposed to a woman that you're in love with and you thought everything was great and she walked away. How would that make you feel?
It would make me feel bad, of course. But
I mean, literally the same thing in front of friends and family.
Yeah, same thing.
Walks away from you.
As far as
says nothing.
Yeah, as far as in the moment, put my, what's it called, you know, back in my pocket and walk out the room. But as far as emotionally, it's what I refer to as a nuclear rejection.
So there's, whether it's man or woman, if you are rejected your proposal, you don't think that that's something that you can come back from.
As far as the relationship, yeah. And this question I have seen bouncing around, you know, should you still be in that relationship if a proposal was denied?
Yeah. Would you? It's a very hard question to ask.
That is.
Answer hypothetically is very difficult.
My initial gut reaction is no, but after I get some time to process, not much time, just mm-hmm. a moment to cool off, I would want to converse and be like, what's going on? Why did you say no? We've been doing this for this long. What
are we doing?
That classic question that people don't like, but want answered constantly. What are we doing? You know, is this something that can be rectified and healed from?
So I gotta tell you,
forward and get to that plateau. Yeah. Whatever that plateau looks like. Yeah. Even if it's not marriage, even if it's just us spending the rest of our lives with each other, whatever that forever looks like for us.
Yeah.
That we can both compromise and both be happy with. A lot of people don't want to compromise. And not only that, they haven't. I believe that a lot of people haven't built up the level of emotional intelligence to be able to even navigate those kinds of terrains to get to a place in which they even feel comfortable living with the consequences of their actions.
I feel like, for me, same question for me, would I be able to take someone back if I proposed and they just rejected me? You know, my also gut shot is no. You know, because it's like, let's say we've been together for years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm in love with you. I don't want anybody else. I've been faithful, etc. And I want to be with you. And you're telling me, oh, no. Because no to me at that moment means to me, because it's an emotional ask. Mm-hmm. It means, oh, I'm not good enough. You don't love me enough. There's something wrong with me. You can't help but think that.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot to sit there and be like, I love you so much. I want to be with just you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I need. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I could go back after a rejection like that.
Yeah.
So that question has actually nothing to do with this particular video I'm going to show you, but it just reminded me of that. So I wanted to figure out what you're going to say with that. But this particular proposal, I would have said no so fast. I think I would have slapped him. I probably would have punched him. Found a way to DDT him,
oh,
definitely hitting a spear, a sphere, right through his abdomen.
Oh, wow.
I would have physically attacked him for putting me through such an emotional and unnecessarily emotional moment.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's what this proposal is. It's insane.
I mean, did this person throw the ring at him or something? I mean, what was... Okay, just roll the clip. I mean, because I'm...
Oh, we're going to roll the fuck out of this clip.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, here we go.
Here we go.
Now you see why I said, first of all, I would have said no, and I would have slapped the shit out of him.
Okay, we'll see.
Is that how they do it in Russia? Is that what they do?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay, wow.
So for those of you listening right now, I'm going to put the link to this video down below in the box I can't even fucking speak the show notes because there's no way to audibly show you what the fuck happened. Wes, why don't you go ahead and try to explain what you just witnessed in this video?
Okay, so... carjacking, basically. I mean, there's no either way to put it. A classic international carjacking. And halfway through the carjacking, actually, the carjacking was complete.
It's crazy because they pulled her fiance out of the driver's seat and threw him into the back of a black van with no windows, left her there. She's screaming, and these men are wearing, like, they're wearing, like, those masks. Like the little robbery mask. Ski mask and shit. And they throw him back. They close the door. She is screaming. Doesn't know what to do. I mean, the kind of screams and cries she was letting out. She was terrified. And then they reopen the doors. Literally like 3 seconds later, he comes out with a bouquet of flowers and a ring.
And there's a melody playing. Angelically.
In the background.
and he gets on one knee and
gives and proposes.
Her his heart.
And she is crying. I mean, dying. I feel like she own. I feel like the hug wasn't a yes. I feel like the hug was a, I'm glad you're not dead.
I don't. There's a lot of angles I'm looking at this from. Okay, as a kind of being I am. Okay, maybe she likes carjackings. Maybe she the same way she has a thing for like. I don't know,
BDSM?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, BDSM.
Oh,
being choked or whatever.
My maybe dream is for a man that I love to just get kidnapped and then just propose to me. That is ridiculous.
It is. It is
the
ridiculous.
Way she responded, that tells me that is not something she wanted. She was fucking terrified. Like, I didn't technically hear her say yes. I heard her crying. I saw her hug him. Maybe she shook her head. I don't even know, dude, but...
Yeah. She put the ring... She let him put the ring on.
I gotta say, after that, not only am I saying no, I'm probably dumping you. You are psychotic.
Right? I understand.
You would put me through something like that?
This is definitely not the proposal I want. I can tell you that for a goddamn fact.
Well, I tell you what, whoever your future wife is, the moment she asks me, oh my God, I love Wes, like, what do you think I should do? I'm gonna say, you know what he wants? He wants to be kidnapped. It'll be hilarious. I'll film it. He's going to love it.
I mean, I'm going to look right into the camera and say no. No to all of this. And it's her fault. Point the person holding the camera. It's her fault. That's why I said no.
Well, the reason I told her it was a good idea is I never liked the bitch to begin with. So.
Good plan.
And never from liked that start. Hole to begin with. Oh, my God. So, once again, I'll put the link down below in the show notes so you can go ahead and check it out for yourself. It is fucking insane is what it is.
So insane. And this is, guys, this is me just trying to rationalize insanity, which can be difficult and even sound insane as the process is going.
No, so. Facts. Facts. Holy fuck. For me, I think my dream proposal would not be to be kidnapped. Obviously.
Of course.
I want a home invasion.
Ooh. And I want to get jumped by some ninjas.
I want you to throw a ninja star into my chest. That right there, that shows love. And I want somehow my engagement ring to be inside of the ninja star. And I have to dig out. I have to dig out the ninja star myself to retrieve my engagement ring.
You gotta earn it.
And as I'm coughing up blood, I'm gonna laugh and smile and say, "I do. Mm. Yes, I'll marry you." That's my dream.
That's how it forever happens.
Yeah, by the way, if you're listening to this, I'm fucking joking. if you didn't get that, you're weird. And also, you're the kind of person who actually might do that.
Yeah, so, those are the same people who don't know what it's
like. Yeah, don't ninja star your boo and ask her to marry you. It's not going to work the way you think. It's the Professionally Silly Podcast. me.
Yeah. You.
Good sound check. Good sound check. Make sure you make it all about me.
Yep.
If there's anything that you guys can take from this podcast episode, not only have gas stations and corner stores been lying to us, and Arizona iced teas are definitely not 99 cents anymore.
Damn it.
But now we found a new way to propose to our loved ones. Professionally Silly Life Rules. If you are not creating a kidnapping scenario for your loved one, you don't love them.
Yeah, and or... staging a crime
to
set up a proposal, then you're really not in love with your partner.
You're really not. That's not the kind of love I want. I want to be so terrified that my heart stops.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
That's love.
Yeah. I at least want it to feel like I'm having a stroke.
Yeah.
Because that's what love is.
Professionally Silly Life Rules. I'm being facetious. Moving on. Shout out to the listeners. Shout out to you guys because you guys are fucking titties. I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to DJ Hey Cousin.
That's me. Shout out to me.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
Check out his podcast, The OD podcast. Eventually, I will convince him to do some work on that.
Yeah, yep. She's going to stab me. It's going to be recorded.
Oh, no, no. I'm not going to stab you. I'm going to do the other thing.
Oh, no. The Gooch thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the Gooch thing. Okay, yeah.
I didn't know that you were going to, like, verbalize that.
Yeah, no. I want the horror to be expressed. It's torture. It's torture.
Yeah, just know there's something that I do to his gooch.
And it's not pleasant.
It's how I get what I want. And by the way, your gooch is going to be involved if you don't clean the kitchen tonight, because I'm not doing it. I don't feel like it. Also, you're cooking dinner, too. I don't feel like doing that.
What?
Hey, gooch. You know, make sure you guys subscribe to this podcast or whatever platform that you're using. Also, do me a favor and leave a 5-star and or written review, because that will help my podcast grow. And a shout out again to all of you, everyone who's been listening every week. You're leaving reviews. You're sharing my podcast. You're loyal and you come. I appreciate you, man, because as a content creator, there's nothing that means more to you than people actually enjoying what you're putting out there. So shout out to every last one of you that can hear my voice right now. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do what I love, entertain. So thank you. Subscribe to this podcast, whatever platform that you're using. That'd be great. And if you're listening for the first time, come on back and join in on the silly. And there's over 300 episodes that you haven't heard yet. So binge, binge, binge.
That's so much silly. I mean, that's weeks of silliness. Mm. I mean, what more could you possibly ask?
Months of silliness.
Months? That's
yeah.
Months of silliness.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that. Years of silliness. I've had this bad boy since 2018. We out here.
I would love to be you, new listener.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, all the loyal listeners will never get to hear me again for the first time until next week.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
It's sad.
Yeah. It's sad. Be a new you, so yeah. It'll be the first time hearing it.
Technically, yeah. It's gonna be my first time hearing it.
Exactly.
I didn't know I was gonna say the word that I just said, or that one.
Bam.
Or that one.
Bam.
Or that one.
Boom.
Titties. I didn't know I was gonna say that. I did not know I was gonna say that. That is crazy how words work.
See, this is astounding.
Refrigerator.
Oh no.
Blue. Oh.
Cabbage.
You see, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. I didn't know he was going to say that.
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take over the world. I had no idea. New listeners are like, I'm going to go.
I think when it just fades out, I guess.
This is getting weird. Yeah. Make sure you guys check out the podcast, Instagram at It's Pro Silly, and of course, the Professionally Silly podcast group on Facebook. If you got some listener submissions, send those in. We'll read those out. You can share your silliest stories, jokes, life mishaps, and we'll feature them on the show. I also shout you out as well. If you get my attention like Ross Lee did, bop, 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 shout out. You can leave me a voicemail, or you can text my Google Voice number, 805-664-1828, or email me at itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com. Everything is spelled correctly. Wes, anything that you want to say, or?
I mean, beyond the standard, follow me on IG at @BobWesRoberts and X on WesDRoberts/CapricornJenkins and TikTok at DJ Hey Cousin. No, not really.
All right, cool. Actually, you said a lot.
Yeah.
Check out my show notes for bonus information. My link tree's down there. All of my social medias, YouTube channels, all that is down there. And my P.O. Box is in the show notes as well. Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533. Lovejoy, Georgia 30250. Once again, it's your Audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones. Thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. You see people every single day that you'll never see again. These are the important thoughts that cross my mind late at night when I can't sleep. You're welcome. Now you can think about it too. Until next time you decide to tune in, peace, silly listeners. Watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere and they love to spread their ignorance. Próxima semana. That's next week in Spanish.
See.
Bye. Titties. I knew I was going to say that. I knew I was going to say that. I'm saying it again.
Okay.
Titties. Eek. All right, no, for real. Bye.
Bye.